Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Monday morning. That means it is time to check in with Dr. Bob Weiss at Concordia Seminary. Good morning, Dr. Weiss.
Good morning to you and your listeners.
Thank you, sir. And what do you have for us this week? What topic?
You always ask that, and I hear
you always bring good topics. You're great at researching these topics, and I know sometimes we run into topics where we're not even sure where to begin.
Well, I got two actually. I know where we can begin. So I'll tell your listeners, if they have a Bible, B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me. Next to him, open up to Genesis chapter 11, about the first 10 verses, about the city and the Tower of Babel. Most people forget there was a city, and how they used bituminous coal pitch, similar to Noah's thing, but a little different, to put all of this together and create their own particular idol and make a name for themselves. And then, of course, we know that God looked, you know, it was so puny, God had to look down on it. And he goes, geez, oh, Bezel, why? He didn't say that, really. You know, and he said, my goodness, what are they doing down there? Let us go down and see what they're doing. So I remember reading Pastor Luther's commentary on this, and I'll repeat this again. His book of Genesis is the most that he ever wrote on any book, 8 volumes translated. So that tells you something, I guess, you know, very important. You got to get the beginning.
Right.
Start of creation, original sin. You got it. You're right. You got to get the beginning, Andy. So he says, you know, to them it was phenomenal. They're going to get up to heaven, but the God is kind of puny. And so he goes, let us. Well, the us, of course, as Luther says, this is God taking counsel with himself, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And very much similar to what he says in Genesis 1:26, let us make man in our image and our likeness. So, and then, of course, at the end of that, he says, you know, if we allow this to go, who knows what's going to happen? So he creates multiple languages, Babel, babbling, and they all run off. Well, in this book I'm reading in front of us, you know, to prepare, of course, for our discussions here, the journal Nature has this article called Language Origin Debate Rekindled. And so in this particular article, on the basis of natural Darwinism that said we basically all began in sub-Saharan Africa, way south in Africa. And I won't name the first so-called person that we came from, according to Darwin. They say that they're struggling over where did all of the multiple languages come from. Now, it's a pretty detailed article, and they think that all of this kind of started anywhere the language is between, some say 5,000 to 6,000 years ago. That's one side of the debate. The others say, oh, no, it began 8,000 to 9,000 years ago. In the Middle East, the farmers, you know, well, and so I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, well, we can answer that question. You know, we've talked about how do you address some of this? Mm-hmm. We go to Genesis 11. We got the answer right there. This is God's doing as usual. Okay. Back to individualism, see.
There's that sinful nature, that sinful human nature, old Adam, that is all about self and looking out for self first.
Yeah, I mean, this is one quote here. It says, yet the origin of the family of tongues are mired in controversy. Well, not if you believe, teach, and confess what the scriptures say. That's not a controversial issue. It is what it is. God is God, and he came down, and he's responsible for this because he knew what man's idolatrous ways are all mm-hmm. about. And this, of course, isn't the first situation where we see this occurring. You know, look at the world today, you know.
Sure. Well, and it's just this sinful man's lack of trust in God.
Ah, good, yeah.
If you think about it, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, if we think that we have to build a tower to reach heaven, to gain God's attention, to build our way into heaven by our own ability, it's a lack of trust in the Father, isn't it?
Yeah, and they failed, obviously. I mean, and God actually protected them here, when you think about this. I mean, even Cain, killing Abel. I mean, he protected Cain. He marked him. And so he marks us in water, word, and faith through holy baptism. And this also reminds me of the New Testament text of building bigger and better barns. Doesn't work. It's all about self. it's all about greed and avarice, and you see this here. Mm-hmm. And as you have said, sin is sin. And we have said, and I know on other occasions here in his time, if one does not see the impact of original sin on mankind, I won't use the politically correct term humankind, on mankind, then you can literally forget everything else, because it still is there. And even those who are in search of immortality, and people think they can find the sin gene and the gene for immortality, as we have said here countless times, go visit a cemetery. Mm. Yeah, people are living longer. But in the end will come, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. So I have one other thing.
Sure.
I want to leave that one. Now, this one, folks, I'm not sure that Andy and I have an answer for this one, but we want to kind of... This is what's happening in biotechnology with computers. Scientists are seeking what is called a homochipian. You got that? A chipian. C-H-I-P-P-I-E-N. And what this means is this. They are starting to grow tissue organs. For example, liver. They put... They have a computer chip in a small dish. They put a piece of liver in it, human liver, and they can feed it. Because it's computerized, the smallest amount of nutrients needed just to keep one cell going so that it divides into two cells, into three cells, and so forth. Because it's computerized, they can be very, very specific on how much they let it grow and how many nutrients. So they can study then the effects of pathogens and disease, and that's fine. What they want to do next is to say, now, what other organs can we connect to the liver in a good sequential order and continue to feed it the nutrients that we need? And eventually, I don't know how to explain this other than to tell you that you're listening to this, artificial blood. So they want to eventually connect all of the organs of a human being, all of the blood organs, all of the digestive organs, and all of the nervous organs that we have.
All integrated,
exactly. With chips lined up or hooked together to create a human being. That's what they call a human chipion. It would be human in the context. It would have all of the various parts mm-hmm. that make us up. Bone, they haven't figured that out yet, and brain, they haven't figured that out. But it would have all of the necessary organs, let's say, below the neck, and would this be a human being? Because that's what they're going to call it. And so they're tapping into the Darwinian mindset of homo, meaning man, homo, instead of sapien, wise man. They're going to talk about a chip, a human chip man. And this is what's going on. I'll just read this to your listeners so they have an idea. This is a quote from this article, and here's what they say. Researchers have already developed dozens of individual model organs. That's what we're just talking about. The next challenge is to hook them together with the eventual goal of forming an entire human body on a chip. Now, I realize you might be thinking out there in radio, KFUAM land, that this is just too bizarre and science fiction. Well, the article ends with the same, like, it's like sci-fi comes to everyday life. This is going to happen eventually, probably again, maybe 30, 40 years. And then this would be good for the treatment of diseases, to study diseases. But again, Andy, as you have said, how do we Christians draw the line on this one? I personally am not sure how to draw the line on something like this yet. Mm-hmm. I just don't know.
Sure. Studying the cells, studying the tissue itself could be beneficial. And is that just by growing tissue and studying it, is that an ethical problem? You know, does that pose a problem? Once you start to connect the tissue and create a system with the tissue, is that where it becomes a problem? Are there any ethical issues with that? Or what's the next step after that? Where is there a line?
Well, actually, I can extrapolate a little bit on that. What perhaps we might be looking at is the creation of certain tissues to treat diseases. For example, if mm-hmm. somebody has really bad genetic disorder of the liver, they could grow the liver and then in a dish and then put that liver into another individual. But of course, that liver would have to be compatible with that individual.
Mm-hmm.
And that would remains to be seen. The other side of the coin is, can they do something, for example, with muscle tissue? Can they start to replace then muscle tissue? Perhaps some people with MS, that would be good too.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're going to go to the point of enhancing an individual, for example, I know this is going to sound bizarre. Can we give you a bigger heart? Now, I'm not talking emotionally, of course, and metaphorically, to make you a better athlete, because my heart from all the running I've done is a bit enlarged and usually shocks them when they look at the exercise. I say, no, it's just, mm-hmm. I used to be a runner and a biker and that kind of stuff. And they say, oh, okay, that answers that. That may be able to enhance your life. So there could be some issues of enhancement here genetically. So can they go in now genetically and transform some of these tissues to make them tougher, longer lasting, to make you a better person? That, I think, may be crossing the line where we're dealing with enhancement and not treatment. And that remains to be seen on how they're going to use this type mm-hmm. of technology of growing tissue and then eventually humans on chips. And then I think that then once again dilutes the whole issue of creation.
Hmm. I could just see a whole line of sci-fi movies coming out of this. Well, thank you for raising some great points as some thought-provoking questions as well. And I look forward to more conversations, Dr. Weiss.
My pleasure.
God's blessings.